So when you talk prayer, you know, one thing that that I know from just studying some of these prayers that are offered in various places in the Bible is that digging deep into these people, you see kind of their attitudes. You see kind of their motivation. And I like Jonah. We talked about Jonah last week. We started off with the first chapter, and we kind of paralleled it to some of the things that that Peter did with Cornelius, which was, to me, a very interesting comparison, where Peter had grown as a Christian. His faith had improved, and the things that he had done through his walk with Jesus, his denying Jesus and his ability to move past that, get forgiveness and forgive himself for it. And then in that moment, he was called to go see Cornelius. And I know he had trouble with Gentiles, because later I think Paul was pretty upset with him because he was separating himself from the Gentiles later. But he was called by God to go to the Gentiles, and he went. He didn't do what Jonah did, which was try to skirt his responsibility. We know both of them were men of God. They were messengers of God. So we see the faith in Peter and the ability for him to do something maybe he was not comfortable doing, but he did it. He did it with the right attitude, and it was a blessing to all of us. We also see, again, I want to reemphasize the fact that Cornelius was the four things. He was a devout man. He gave his wealth to others. He, I can't remember all four of them right now, but it in Acts 10, it talks about those things. He was that kind of a man that was so, his family was with him as well. They were also following what he believed, and just the prayers that he offered were so pure that God recognized Cornelius and all the baggage that he had by being who he was, Gentile. He was a Roman soldier in charge of Roman soldiers, you know, and so he saw his willingness, his attitude to know more and be more in life. And, you know, that was an amazing, we don't know the extent of the prayer, but we know it was impactful enough that God intervened and said, look, there's going to be a guy, you go get this guy. He's going to tell you what you got to do. And I mentioned last week also that there's prayers that happen for years and years and years, and they don't get they don't get answered like we think they should get answered. They're getting answered, but where they're not potentially coming to fruition. Like praying that Jesus comes soon, we want that to happen. We are stating our life on and our work on that. And, you know, that is going to be a glorious day, but it's in his time that that happens. But Cornelius prayed from the time Christ was crucified. You know, he grew in his belief to a point, which is a short period of time, and made that prayer. And God, it was the timing was right for God, and God used Cornelius to do that. And that's an amazing thing. And so going back to Jonah, you know, Jonah was a man of God. He was a man that God was depending on to deliver a message. And just in the four chapters, we learn an awful lot about Jonah. And, you know, we think, wow, this guy was a real difficult case. I mean, he ran away, and, you know, he was... He didn't want to do what he was supposed to do. He didn't like the Ninevites, so he didn't think it was a good decision that God made. That's a really bad decision right there. He ran away from it, and then you know, he realized that, yes, he is the problem, asked the sailors to throw him in the ocean, And they're like, we can't do that to you. You know, that's not a good thing for us to do. And tried to save him, but ultimately he was swallowed by a fish. And we're going to read his prayer inside the belly of the whale. And we're going to try to dissect that and dissect the rest of that and try to equate it to our prayer life. You know, exactly what not to do and what to do, and try to work on those things in our prayer life. And hopefully this continuation of Jonah, that'll help us do that. So let's get our Bibles, and we'll turn to chapter 2 of Jonah. And we'll start with verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me, weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up, my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spit Jonah up on dry land. So this is a two-part question that I was going to start off with. Number one, how do we know that God answers prayers from this? And then number two, what do we know about Jonah? So I'll start off. We know Jonah was a chronic complainer. He had a short temper. He was probably a little racist, prejudiced, I would say. He was a man of God. He was God's messenger. What else? He prayed. He did pray. How do we know, in the first part of this question, or the first question was, how do we know God answers prayers from this chapter?
Verse 2.
I want you to read that.
And he said, I cried to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me.
And he heard my voice. Yeah, and it ultimately, at the end of the chapter, what happened?
He got back on dry land.
The fish spit him out. And it says that the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish got rid of Jonah. Now, I saw this internet thing on a YouTube video, and I'm probably saying this all wrong, but they've got these new micro cameras, and they get real close, like to the ballpoint pen, and they watch the pen roll over the paper. It's amazing. I'm just mesmerized by it. But they took this camera, and they went down the mouth of an Atlantic salmon. Yeah, just went right through the mouth, and you're following it, and it's like all around you. I don't know if I had virtual reality goggles on, would I feel like I was Jonah? But I mean, it was kind of a wild looking thing to go into the mouth of this salmon, through the salmon down, and you see the rib cage around it, and then it kind of cut off because I don't think it, you know, it got kind of gooey and ugly. But I mean, can you imagine? This guy is running away from God. He's on a boat. He thinks he's got it. He's made it. We talked last week about the fact that he was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. If you're guilty, sometimes you don't sleep. We talked about that. He obviously thought he got away with it, so he was just resting quietly with a storm. And he's like, okay, I'm the guy. Throw me over. I give up. And then a fish swallows you. It's amazing. It's an amazing story. I'm more amazed with this story at 55 years old than I was when I was 8 or 9. I'm telling you, it's an incredible story. But we know Jonah is caught. And he's in a pickle. He's in a whale. I'm sorry, a pickle is a different thing. He's in a whale or a fish. And he's inside, and it says he's got weeds wrapped around his head. And he's deep in the bottom of the ocean. And it's probably pretty dark in there. I remember Pinocchio as a kid watching that animation. Remember, he was swallowed by the whale, but they were inside and they had a torch and they had a little boat. And I don't think it was like that at all. I think it was a mess. And now he's in a position where he's alive. And what's the alternative for Jonah? I think that a lot of us, me, wait until it's the last thing to do to get out of a mess is to pray about it. Where all along we could be praying about these things. So we know in chapter 1, Jonah was talked to by God about going to Nineveh. Instead of not going to Tarshish or wherever he, you know, down to Joppa to Tarshish. Instead of doing that, he could have had a prayer. He could have had a discussion with God about it. You know, it's not too late ever to have these deep discussions about something that is on your mind. To run away from it, the lesson here is don't do that. Face it. Pray about it. Pray about it a lot. Ask others to pray for you about it. But don't leave it up to having a crisis, a last-minute decision to reconcile. Because you might not have that choice. You may not have that choice. Could have been something that Jonah went into the ocean and that chapter 2 ended. That's how it was over. Now, I'll say this about our prayer life. I can see myself and a lot of things that happen when we disappoint our God. And I've ran away from responsibilities. I don't know anyone that hasn't. I've become angry. I felt like somebody didn't deserve a chance. And I needed a whale to swallow me. I needed someone to check me up. I remember one of our first classes we had in this series, we talked about, you know, that go-to person in your life that you can share things with, you know, to have that person to lean on about certain things that are complicated, whether it's politics or whatever, just to have some, you know, discussion to air out some things, just to bounce some stuff off of someone, your spouse or a friend or a father or mother. You know, that's an important thing to do. Here we see Jonah taking it all on himself. He was going to make this decision all by himself to run away from his responsibility. And we know we can pray and engage the Lord into these discussions, and it will help give us clarity and peace and understanding about what the next step is. You know, open the scriptures, study about things, and see how it affects us by what we read and study about specific things that may be parallel to what you're dealing with right now. So it's a huge help, but don't run away from it. I know that's a natural thing for us to do, and it gives us all hope because we see a guy right here given a second chance by God, and he didn't really deserve it. Do we think he deserved it? I mean, I don't know how to decide who deserves what, but at the human core, I say, no, he doesn't deserve to have, you know, the gracious gift that he was given. He, when we read on further, he didn't think Nineveh should have the gift that God gave. Yeah, great point. And there's two things I take away from that point. Number one, you know, our attitude is so indicative of how we pray, or if we pray at all. You know, no doubt there was a miracle involved in being inside of a fish and surviving that. But he gives us time sometimes in positions to be able to reflect and think and maybe come to ourselves. You know, the prodigal son is a great example of that. The guy had to absolutely hit rock bottom, which is what Jonah did. He hit rock bottom of the ocean before he actually came to himself. And one could assume that he had this prayer at the bottom of the ocean where he finally got to that point. Now, also, as we read on, you know, prayer is a big part of it, but it wasn't, unfortunately, a huge change. I mean, it changed Jonah, where Jonah was spit up onto the ocean, onto the beach, and he went and did what God asked him to do in chapter 3. And we can read about that right now. But basically, he got that second chance. He went and did the work. But yet he reverted. If you see, he kind of reverts back to, he needs to go back in the fish. Yeah.
You know, it didn't wipe that out.
But I'm not sure it really was life-changing for him for this reason. The fourth chapter almost is like, see, God, I told you so.
Yeah.
It's almost a, you know,
yeah.
I told you what's going to happen. I knew how you are. And that's not really a repentant, a life-changed individual. And even at the end, toward the end, God said to Jonah, is it right you to be angry about the plan? And he said, yeah, it's right for me to be angry about the plan. Even to death. I mean, so, you know, Jonah is an interesting character because he is God's prophet, but he never really has a shining bright moment in chapter 4 because even at the end, he still, I cared more about this little plant that grew up overnight that kept the sun off of me. I knew about all these people in Nineveh.
Right. So The truth, exactly. Just saying again, we see the transformation in it when Jonah's in a really bad spot and he needs help. Okay, but then we see him revert back to his previous ways. Case in point about prayer. We pray always. We talked about that in several scripture in the Bible. There's examples of how to pray, when to pray, how often to pray, and what procedure, preparation to do that. I think the point is the prayer life cannot stop once you're out of the jam. You have to continue to develop a prayer life. And that is very difficult because a lot of times prayer happens when we're in a pickle. And the idea would be pray when you got great times. And again, let's about the prayer that he prayed, he gave thanksgiving at the very end of this. Let's read it. I want to make sure I'm right about this. He gave thanksgiving. I got to put my glasses on. He says in verse 8, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake your mercy." I can hear that tone. "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." And then the Lord spake to the fish. Thanksgiving, when I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. That is the primary thing that we need to remember. God wanted the Israelites over and over to remember what I did for you. Remember. It was over and over how he had to do that. And just like Jonah, the Israelites would go one day, get what they needed, thank God for it. The next day, they're back on just, you know, they're not even remembering yesterday.
But isn't that how we all are? We do the same stupid things over and over again. We ate at the Mexican food place tonight, and I promise you, Addie turned over her water 3 times. And we scolded her every time and told her not to do it, and she did the same thing.
So you remember my formula for reoccurring issues that send people into this elevated state? Just say, okay, you spilled your water. Let's pray about it. Maybe they won't do it again. I don't know. Well, I can't get into any kind of parental counseling right here, but you know, just enjoy the moment you're with her. Whether you're wet or not, it's fine. It's going to be okay. Okay, where was I? Anyway, the thing is our prayer life needs to be a consistent prayer life. It needs to be something we purpose, we prepare for, and we do. And it only can benefit us. It helps our attitude. It helps us to be more pliable to the will of God. And it helps us connect. And again, we talked about the ability that the benefits of prayer are just really amazing. The blessings that you get from it. Acknowledging that God is our God. The example you set for those in your family or those that hear prayer. It's you have a very big responsibility for that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, he knew.
He knew that he wasn't really, he had to know, that he really truly wasn't changed all the way. I would agree with Don. I don't think it was a life-changing event. I see kids do this all the time. You know, oh, please, give me a trouble.
Yeah.
Please, I promise I'm going to change.
Yeah. With Jonah?
With Jonah. And the other thing, I think we do our kids a disservice by talking about Jonah as a story of repentance and leaving it at the, he went to Nineveh and preached. I can remember for so long, I never even knew there was a chapter 4
Yeah. Yeah, this is so many great points, okay? I've got subcontractors that I have to deal with exactly like that. They're sorry, but please pay me. But so anyway, you know, the thing is like, yes, he's in a bad spot. He gets out of it. We get a lot of grace. God gives us grace. We need to pray about that. Thank you, God, for the grace that you provide us. Know what that is. You know, the continual cleansing of our sinful lives if we walk in the light. You know, it's a major blessing. I can't do a deep dive into Jonah, and I would like to know the rest of the story, but I can only know I can deep dive. Thank you, Bill. Yes, I thank you for that. I'm becoming Randy Medlin. Is he here tonight? Yes. It's getting on to I'm doing it. Do a deep dive. We'll do a deep dive on Jonah. Doom doom. So anyway, I'm not good at jokes, as you can tell. Or knowing I did one. Jonah is an amazing story because of the miracle that was, and it's in the books, and it's easy for an artist to draw a big fish, you know, but yes, it's a bigger thing, and our kids, you know, all of us need to be reminded all the time of this story and how we're so close to Jonah. We've been given the Great Commission. We know what we need to do, and, you know, we sometimes don't do what Peter did and go where he doesn't want to go. We don't do what we're supposed to do, and we walk around what we need to do. And God gives us another chance and another chance and another chance. And we need to pray and be thankful for that. Yes, Larry.
I see him as very, very self-centered with a very short memory.
Yeah, Jonah.
Jonah,
very self-centered with a short memory. Yeah. Yes, Randy. Yeah.
Because I think, I don't have my Old Testament with me, but I think the text actually says that after he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, is when he began praying.
Yeah.
Pray all the way down.
Right. Yeah, I'd start right away in the water.
He apparently had to think about it before he decided, okay, this might be a good time to come to converse with God. The second point I wanted to make was he's been called a reluctant prophet for obvious reasons. And like Julie just mentioned, there's no real satisfactory. Because I've been in classes where we kicked it around, you know, and so why did God choose a man who didn't want to go? You know, even though he was successful when he finally did preach, he didn't want to go. And so why did God choose somebody? And somebody has suggested it's because God didn't want to just save the city, he wanted to save the man. But there's no evidence in the four chapters that Jonah ever came around. I mean, he was still myth at God at the end of the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe that's also a microcosm of our responsibility in this world is that we don't get to, not everybody that we talk to and share the gospel with is going to be saved, but our responsibility is to try.
Well,
and God tried to save Jonah, gave him chance after chance, and he still didn't come around.
Yeah, and we talked about sowing the seed last week about how the seed gets thrown out all over. That's our job. We don't give the increase. That's God's job. Good points. And, Larry.
He did have the guts to realize that he needed to follow up on it because he thought, what else could happen to me if I don't go? And it wasn't a simple thing to do. I don't know exactly where that fish bit him up on dry land, but he had a minimum of 300 miles to go to get to the minimum.
Yeah, and he could have gotten himself in a bad state of mind in the 300-mile walk that he had to make. Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think at the end of the book, God still making him suffer, hoping he'll come back.
Yeah, he did. He made him get hot until he was going to faint. And
we don't know that he died, but we can see that God's still letting him breathe at the end. I think that's a lesson sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to my dad the other day, and he was talking about the Israelites that were bit by snakes, and the staff with the snake on it, and they just look at the staff, and you'll be healed from it. And Dad always told us, like, but he didn't get rid of the snakes. And we're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what? I don't get it. And that, you know, I do get it, but I mean, like, we're going to always have snakes. We're going to always have these issues that we have to deal with, these terrible, you know, situations in our mind and our physical, whatever they are. I mean, I know some people that are in pain all the time. They're not happy people. And that's just something they're having to deal with. I mean, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, whatever that was. It was just wearing him out, and he wanted it gone. And God was like, my grace will handle that.
Maybe it's a story about God's long suffering.
God's long suffering is definitely a good part of this story. It is a good part of the story.
One of the takeaways for me, too, is kind of like Anna Marie was just talking about, is that it's actually harder to disobey God than it is to obey Him. It's only 300 miles from Tarshish to Joppa. It was 2,200 miles, no, to Joppa to Nineveh, and it was 2,200 miles to where He had planned to run to Tarshish.
Yeah.
So think about how far out of the way that was.
Yeah.
For Him to try to get away from God.
Yeah. Again, it is sometimes mind-boggling that to try to thwart the will of God seems to be the easiest way to go about getting through life, but it's not. That's the trick about it. That's a great comment. He was just a human. It's not my monkeys. It's not my circus. I love that.
And so we try to get away from it, but to God, it's not okay.
No.
Because one day He asked us, why didn't you?
Yeah.
To me, help me, could have.
I hope He doesn't. I think that you're exactly right. God ultimately is... He gives us so many opportunities.
As long as we're still living, we can make it right.
Yeah.
We cannot go up to God and say, hey, God, you know, I just didn't want it to get involved.
Yeah.
Please, yeah.
There's encouragement here as far as our prayer life. We can see the things that Jonah did wrong, and we can concentrate on the things that did good, you know, the good things. Ultimately, he went to Nineveh, and God spared them. God knew that 200-300 years later that they were going to be taken into captivity. You know, they knew that. But at that point in time, you know, that's what he wanted to do. Whether it was for a nation or whether was it for a man, it was probably for both. But at the end of the day, you know, and it's for us now, right? I mean, it's recorded for us, and we can get a lot from this. If we don't stop at chapter, you know, 2, and we move on through the whole chapter and get it all out. And in our prayer life, again, Thanksgiving, a constant prayer life, so that we don't revert back to a way that is going to be a problem for us, something that we, a weakness that we have, we need to pray for. He had weaknesses with anger and prejudice and what was the other one he had? Just being a complainer, you know, or selfish, you know, all those things that we need to pray to avoid and try to do that on a daily basis, or maybe twice a day. For some of us, 4 times a day. So thank you very much for all your comments tonight. And we'll end in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.